Becky set her tray on a sideboard. I held mine as she poured the wine and served the gentleman. Then she had me hold the food tray so that she could serve the tongue and cheese. Talk halted as the men started in on their meal.
Becky,
Madam called from across the hall. Go see to her, Lockton told Becky. The girl can stay here. Does she know where the wine is? Yes, sir, I said. Becky and Lockton both stared at me. I had spoken out of turn. My job was to be silent and follow orders. Ruth had already learned that. Shh. Keep the wine flowing and the plates full, Lockton said. My friends eat more at my table than their own. As Becky left, Gold Buttons drained his wine, then raised his goblet. I hurried to pour him another and topped off the drinks of the other men. Lockton gave me a curt nod when I was finished. Stand over there, he said, pointing to the corner where the two bookshelves met each other. I gave a wordless curtsy and took my place. The men dove back into their conversation. Who has been arrested because of the oath? Demanded Lockton. Fools unschooled in the art of fence-sitting, said Gold Buttons. Plank-walking, you mean? Said Inkstained. Shabby Wig leaned forward and pointed his finger at Inkstained. Don't you turn the coward on us, not when we're this close. Close? Argued Inkstained. Do you see His Majesty's ships in the harbor? I don't. I might argue that England has fled and the rebel traitors have won. Lower your voices, Lockton said with a scowl. He closed the windows with a loud bang, then returned to his seat. His Majesty's ships are very close, closer than you know. This rebellion will be smashed like glass under a heavy boot, and the king will be very grateful for our assistance. The mention of the king caught my ear. I studied the wide boards on the floor and listened with care. Gold Buttons popped a piece of cheese into his mouth and talked as he chewed. I sincerely hope you speak the truth, Elihu. These rebel committees are multiplying faster than rabbits in the spring. They've just about ground business to a halt. Have they interfered with you directly? Lockton asked. Every waking moment, Goldbutton said. The latest bit of nonsense is a committee to detect conspiracies. They've sent the hounds after us, old friend. Have you written to Parliament? They need the specifics of our difficulties. Parliament is as far away as the moon, complained Inkstained. As the other men argued about Parliament and letters of protest and counter-letters and counter-counter-letters, Shabby Wig stabbed at the last pieces of tongue on his plate and shoved them into his mouth. He turned in his seat to look at me, held up his plate, and grunted. If I had ever done such a thing, Mama would have switched my behind for having the manners of a pig. Even Miss Mary Finch had asked with a please and a thank you when Mama served her dinner. This is New York, I reminded myself as I crossed the room and took the plate from his hand. The rules are different. I loaded his plate down with the last slices of tongue and set it in front of him before retreating to my corner. Everything is different. My belly growled and grumbled in his cage. The smell of the tongue and mustard and the cheese filled the room and made my mouth water. I had eaten a bowl of corn mush at sunrise and only dumplings at midday. To distract the beast in my gullet, I tried to read the names of the books on the shelves without turning my head. My eyes were as starved for words as the rest of me was for dinner. It was hard to read from the side like that. I wanted to pull down a book, open it proper, and gobble up page after page. I wanted to stare into the faces of these men and demand they take me home. I wanted to jump on the horse in the painting and fly over the hills. Most of all, I wanted to grab my sister by the hand and run as fast as we could until the cobblestones disappeared and there was dirt under our feet again. Girl, Lockton said, bring us more bread, sliced thin, and some of Becky's apricot jam. I've missed the taste of that. I curtsied and hurried out of the room, leaving the door open a crack so I could easily open it when I came back with my hands full. Across the hall came the quiet conversation of Madam and Lady Seymour. I paused but heard no mention of Ruth. Shh. There was fresh bread on the kitchen table, but it took a piece of time to find the crock of jam. I use one of my sharp knives to slice the loaf, set out the slices on a clean plate, and put the plate and jam on a tray. It was taking me too long to finish a simple chore. I feared the master would be angry with me, and I was angry at myself for being afraid. I was just about to push open the library door with my foot when the master said,
"Compliments of His Majesty, gentlemen. There's enough money here to bribe half of the rebel army."
I stopped and peered through the crack. Madam's linen chest, the one that she had fussed about when we arrived, was in the middle of the library floor, the top thrown open. Underskirts and shifts were heaped on the floor beside it. Lockton reached into the chest and pulled out two handfuls of paper currency.
"Huzzah!" said Inkstained, as Gold Buttons let out a low whistle.
"Do you have a man ready?" Lockton asked.
"Two," Shabby Wig answered. "One will operate out of Corby's Tavern, the other from the Highlander."
"Good." Lockton crossed back to his desk. I could no longer see him, but his words were clear.
"Every man willing to switch sides is to be paid 5 guineas and 200 acres of land. If he have a wife, an additional 100 acres. Each child of his blood garners another 50.
"Makes me want to marry the next lady I clap eyes on," Gold Button said.
Lockton chuckled. I gave the door a little push and it swung open.
"Sir?" I asked in a hushed tone.
"Enter,"
Lockton said. I walked in. The other men did not look my way. I was invisible to them until they needed something.
"Jam," he said with a smile. "Put it right here."
I placed the tray in front of him and took my place again in the corner. The men spread the jam on the bread and drank their wine, discussing politics and war and armies over the stacks of money on my master's desk. The smell of apricots filled the warm room. It put me in mind of the orchards down the road from Miss Mary's place. I kept my face still as a plaster mask, but inside my brain pan, thoughts chased round and round. By the time the men rose to leave, I knew what I had to do.